A consistent message from the Old Testament across the New Testament is that God's plan of redemption was never limited to one people or one nation. God's compassion toward sinners is not bound by national, ethnic, or any other boundaries. The Apostle Paul stated clearly in Romans 3:23 that every human being, regardless of their background, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The need for salvation is real and it's universal. And in His love, God made a way through the life, death, and resurrection of His divine Son for sinners to be forgiven and reconciled with God. And in His grace, that gift of salvation is offered to everyone through faith in His Son. That's God's heart for the nations, and it should be ours as well. But sadly, sometimes it isn't. Our hearts can become calloused and hardened toward the lost. And we've seen that the prophet Jonah battled with the same thing. He struggled greatly with God's intention to save the Ninevites. We'll see how God works on Jonah's rebellious heart as we wrap up the book of Jonah. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauchus preaches from the Old Testament book of Jonah, chapter 4, in a message titled, God Rebukes the Self-Centered Prophet. Let's open our Bibles there as we together delight in the Word.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn away from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? This morning we wrap up our time in the book of Jonah, a series I've called God's Heart for the Lost. And through this short series, I've hoped and prayed that the Holy Spirit would use his words to convict and transform us in regard to how we view unbelievers, especially those who are different from us, different in upbringing, nationality, color, or any other earthly distinction. There is a cultural problem in the evangelical church in America, and that is, though we claim to believe that the gospel is for all people, the natural tendency is still for us to prefer to gather with people who are like us. Whether it be those who are of the same ethnic background, or the same skin color, or the same age, or the same season of life, or the same income bracket. Church, for most Americans, has become a place to be comfortable being with the people who are most like us. That's a pretty general statement, but I think it's pretty accurate. Broadly speaking, it's where the church in America is at. But this is contrary to God's intention for the church. The gospel is for all peoples, and so is God's heart. Therefore, our heart should be the same. Evidence of God's heart for all peoples of the earth permeates Scripture. God intends to save some from every people group. That's what we find in the Scriptures. This is evidenced by the consistency of his ongoing desire for his people to be a gospel light to every nation. The covenant that God made with Abraham reminds us that the seed that would come from the family of Abraham, that would eventually be the Messiah, being the seed of Abraham, it is through the Messiah, through the Savior, that all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. It is through the Messiah, through the Savior, that the salvation of God would be brought to the world. In Psalm 67, verse 2, the songwriter reveals God's international heart with these words, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. That's all ethnic groups, all language groups, all tribes. It's not just talking about all geographical groups. Measurable nations. Mark's gospel exhorts us with these words: the gospel must be preached to all the nations. John's revelation from the risen Christ reveals the worship of God in heaven as being multi-ethnic. After these things, John says, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb. It is Jesus who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Not just one kind of people. The heart of God for the salvation of all peoples is also evidenced by the consistency of his compassion toward them. When Moses asked to see God's glory, God allowed him to see what Scripture calls his backside. And then God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. The heart of God is consistently filled with compassion. Compassion toward the lost is ours. Is our heart consistently filled with compassion for all the lost? God's glory is most prominently displayed in the giving of his Son. It is in Jesus Christ that the glory of God has been made known to the world. See, in the new covenant age, we don't need to ask God to show us his glory. He already has. He already has shown us his glory. And that is in Jesus Christ. And part of the glory of God that is revealed in Christ is his heart of compassion to bring the lost back into relationship with himself. You see this in Jesus, in his compassionate, heartfelt cry to the wayward Jews when he said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus says, how often would I have brought you into my fold, welcomed you into my family, but you were unwilling. Your heart remained unrepentant. You remained stiff-necked, hard-hearted, deciding to stay in your sin. See, some people really goof up on the sovereignty of God and salvation, and they take it to an unhealthy, unbiblical extreme. You know what? God doesn't force anyone to stay stuck in their prison of sin. Jesus says, you could have come to me, but you were unwilling. God desires to display his glory, and therefore the heart of God is for the lost, for their salvation, to bring them to the place where they may experience the glory of his grace in redemption. And the lesson of Jonah is that our heart should be the same. Our heart should be filled to overflowing with compassion for the lost. But Jonah's heart was not filled with compassion. Instead, Jonah's heart was filled with pride and prejudice. And this pride and prejudice produced a deep, seething anger against the Assyrians, the nation that had taken his people captive. These people don't deserve salvation. That's what Jonah thought. They should be judged. They should be condemned. They should be destroyed. God should not save them. That was the sinful prophet's attitude. And so Jonah refused to preach to them. Why? Because he was afraid God would act like God. He was afraid God would be gracious. And so he refused to preach to the city. But the Sovereign One whipped up a great storm upon the sea, and he had his rebellious prophet thrown into the sea and then rescued by a fish and transported back to land so that he could obey the original command, go to Nineveh and preach. And that's exactly what he did. And Jonah witnessed the entire city come to repentance. You would think that Jonah, I mean, is this not a preacher's dream? I mean, really, I confess, my dream. Is it not your dream when you preach the gospel, you go places, you share the gospel with children in good news clubs, or you go to the nursing home, or you go to the prisons, you go to different places and you preach the gospel? Is it not your dream that everybody would fall on their faces and bow before God, repent and believe? So you would think that Jonah would have been thrilled beyond belief. But he wasn't. Instead, he was very angry. He was filled with rage. Why? Because God had spared the people. God chose to be gracious to people whom Jonah wished were dead. See, in response to Nineveh's repentance, God relented of their destruction. And in response to God's mercy, Jonah became angry and thus displayed his self-righteous and self-centered heart. Jonah 4 is the account of Jonah's dialogue with God, which reveals two necessary disciplines for cultivating a heart of compassion. God's conversation with Jonah reveals just how hard-hearted the prophet had become, and just how far he was from imitating the compassion of God. This morning, God wants you to learn from Jonah's poor example. He wants your heart transformed to be like his heart, to have a heart of compassion. So to imitate the compassionate heart of God, you must first turn the eyes of your heart away from the pride of self. You must first turn the eyes of your heart away from the pride of self. Jonah's self-centered pride is manifested in many ways in chapter 4. Just let's look at some examples. Verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. What displeased him? The repentance of the city. He was angry, very angry. Ultimately, angry at God. See, anger against God is the rawest form of rebellion. For a sinner, a natural-born rebel, to be angry at God is the height of treason. To be angry at God is to attempt to remove him from his position as the sovereign one over all of life. But not only is anger against God the rawest form of rebellion, it is often the deeper root of our anger against others. I think more often than we realize, the sinful anger that we express horizontally toward people or toward painful circumstances is ultimately a refusal to submit to the will of God, which isn't what the way we want it to be at that moment. I've seen that in my own heart, in my own life. A number of years ago, I was going through multifaceted time of trial. And one day, just driving home from church, that 13-mile drive west to our house, looking over the cornfields, it was as if the Holy Spirit said to me, there was no voice, but as I was praying in anger, it was as if the Spirit said, Paul, you're not angry at that guy. You're not angry at your circumstances. You are angry at God, because you think you deserve better. That was a massive eye-opener for me. I think that's true sometimes in our lives, and we don't realize it. Why? Because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and we, just like Jonah, we find all kinds of ways to justify our sinful anger. Jonah was angry at God. That really is the bottom line. He was rebelling against not only what God had done, but he was rebelling against the heart of God. He was angry that God was the way that he was. I mean, that's evidence in verse 2. I mean, everything he says about God in verse 2 is true, but he's saying it in a tirade. Look at verses 2 and 3, and you can just see how it's all about Jonah. Oh, Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste, for I knew. Please take my life from me, for it is better for me. Eight times in those two verses, in that tiny little prayer. Jonah says, I, me, my. It's all about Jonah. See that again in verse 5 when he goes away to sulk. And sulking is just, we've all been there. It's just, not only is it just utterly self-centered, but it's so immature. It's so junior high. You know, we sulk. And Jonah was sulking. So he goes out of the city and throws himself a pity party, and lo and behold, he's the only one who attends. You know, that's the thing about pity parties. You know, we send one invitation to ourselves. We try to send invitations to other people and that they might join us, but if they're wise, they won't join us. They'll say, I think I will RSVP a no to that one. But look what he's doing in verse 5. He makes a booth for himself. He sits in the shade until he should see what would become of the city. You know what that really is saying? He was waiting and hoping that God would not be what he just described him to be. That God would just unleash every bit of wrath upon that city. He received shade not only from what he made in verse 5, but from a plant that God made. And look at verse 6, how Jonah was exceedingly glad. He was happy for the shade. See, he was really happy about God's grace being directed toward himself. And in verse 8, when God appoints a scorching wind to make things even more miserable, Jonah becomes faint and he said, it's better for me to die than to live. That's the second time now he said, it's better for me, it's better for me. Jonah only wanted what was better for him. And then look at how he justifies his anger in verse 9. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? He said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. I mean, the self-centeredness of this man just permeates this chapter in his response. Which teaches us then that if we are to have a heart of compassion, which is the heart of God, then we must first turn the eyes of our heart away from self.
We so easily cringe at the self-centeredness of Jonah's heart and his lack of compassion for those at Nineveh. We wonder how the prophet could be so hard-hearted. But as with all the accounts written in the Bible, God wants to teach us. He wants us to reflect on our own hearts and see where we may need to repent. Forgiveness and salvation are offered to everyone, including you. Though it's offered to everyone, not everyone will be saved and delivered from ultimate judgment. Only those who trust fully and only in Jesus Christ and His atoning work on the cross will be saved. If you'd like to know more about how you can be made right with God, contact us through our website and ask for a free book titled, This Way to Life. It'll explain the message of salvation clearly and answer all your questions. Ask for the free book, This Way to Life, at delightintheword.org. If you'd like a copy of this message, you can download it on our website, or you can find the program on most podcast platforms. While you're on our website, you'll find a number of helpful resources written by Pastor Paul and others that will encourage you in your faith and equip you in your ministry to others. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We'll pick up part 2 of our study in Jonah chapter 4 next time as we, together, delight in the Word.